Morado Lens, a feminist podcast hosted by two childhood friends who talk about embracing your inner bruja, sex, and culture.
Always funny, always real. Hey, this episode is sponsored by The Wild Guru, a creator of guru wraps, super versatile bohemian pants that can be worn six different ways and can fit women's sizes 0 to 10.
And the perk that makes Mike so happy is that 10% of their profits go towards helping endangered wildcats and their habitats. So use Morado Lens, all lowercase and one word, as a coupon code and get 20% off. Check it out on thewildguru.com.
Look good, feel good, do good. Enjoy, brujas. And now, back to our show.
Boom. Okay, honey.
And we have a special guest with us today, Cat Lazo.
Meow!
Who is actually her? That's actually her name on YouTube. Show. It's the Cat's Meow. But she also has a full-time gig at Me Too, and she's here with us today.
What up? How full long? Name, full legal name, Catherine Lisa Maria Deandra Lazo Espinosa.
You know, I'm an Espinosa too. I think we're fam.
Oh, with an S or a Z?
Z.
Oh, we're not fam. We're not fam, guys.
So, okay, you're not family. Maybe you're cousins.
I need ancestral DNA for this to prove it.
She wants everyone to be her fam.
Aww, I mean, that's literally it. I want a big family.
We can be fam.
Done. Adopted. See how quickly that happened, guys?
Bam.
Why is there any hate in the world when you have this?
So wait. We got to give her full intro moment.
Oh, yeah.
What was I supposed to say?
Video producer of Me Too.
Yes.
Public speaker.
Yes.
For Latinx social rights and communication. Yes. And maybe not a fellow bruja.
I wouldn't identify as a bruja, just because I wasn't raised embracing bruja culture. Let's put it like that, right? Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of that has to do with ultimately, like, you know, family being colonized. And so it's either a shaming of certain, like, bruja elements or just completely not knowing an erasure. Mm-hmm. But I was telling you before that, even though I don't identify, I know that it still exists within my ancestry and even like presently within me or my family, because there has been so many times where in particular, like, we have dreams and they come true, like scary, where I'm like, hold on.
Intuition.
Really? Yeah. I'm like, it's like one of those moments from That's So Raven.
Yeah.
It's like, pew, pew. And I'm like, oh my God. It's really creepy. Can I
was going to say, like, do you feel comfortable sharing?
Yeah. So this one time, hopefully my sister doesn't listen to this podcast. So this one time, my sister and her boyfriend, I had a dream that basically they broke up. Like, we were in a cabin. I was on a bed, like, with my back to them sleeping, and they were arguing in my dream, like, behind me, like, oh my God, I hate you, this and this, da-da-da. And I was like awake in my dream, you know, in bed, being like a chismosa, and like, oh my God, what's going on? And I woke up, you know, like, in the dream, like, they were like, oh, I hate you, like, it's over, we're no longer together. And I was like, I woke up and I was like, oh my God. And I was like, that is such a funny dream. So I text my sister and I'm like, hey, I had this dream that you and so-and-so broke up. And she's like, mommy told you?
Oh.
And I was like, mommy told me what? And she was like, we broke up and I didn't want to tell anyone, and I only mommy knows. And I was like, girl, mommy, my intuition. Swear to God, no one,
you almost
told
got
me,
mommy in trouble. No one,
yeah.
You know,
and I think even to this day she still thinks maybe something happened, and I'm like, seriously, no one told me shit.
How recent, like, what was the difference from when it happened to,
oh no, like that night.
So not happened. Only are your dreams like accurate, but they're
lucid,
timely
dreaming.
Yeah,
that is like, yes, seriously.
And so,
like,
here's the thing too, is that intense. So I'm married, I had a honeymoon, I went away with my husband, and we went away to St. Lucia, and it was like very, like, almost like no technology, right? It was very, very minimal. And I think I think that has a lot to do with it too. How saturated our current day is with just like technology, and that's gonna drain any type of like spiritual connection that you're gonna have to, like,
that's
Mother
so
Earth
true.
You know, and that connection that you're gonna have with, you know, the earth, like Mother Earth. And anyway, so when we were in St. Lucia without like any technology, every single night I had a like vivid lucid dream that then in the morning I would wake up and I'd find a connection to. So one night I had a horrible nightmare, like I was crying in my sleep, and woke up basically that my mother came up to me and she told me she had like the worst stage of cancer and that she's gonna pass away. Oh, and so of course me on my honeymoon, I'm like, oh, I gotta call my mom. So I like call my mom in the morning and she's like, no, you stay bien. She was like, but you're one of my best friend's mom who had been struggling with cancer passed away.
So sometimes it's not the specific person. Right. Yeah.
It's a little like
it's up to you to interpret it or go find the answer.
Yes. Wow. Yes.
That's powerful.
You know? So it's just weird. So I know that there's there. I've had, you know, other tias, other cousins when I was younger have, you know, have similar dreams and lucid dreaming like that. But no one has ever like, I'm a bruja or this or like a claiming of our indigenous background.
But your mom, when you call her about your dreams, she already knows the situation and how clear you are with what happens or your intuition. Does she ever kind of joke like, no me digas tu sueño, tú eres bruja or something?
Well, yeah, she wants me to find out more, you know? She's like, no,
go back to dreaming.
Go back to sleep.
A ver si sueñas de dinero.
I'm like, I wish. New Jersey lottery over here. Send it to us.
Right, I'm like, give me the numbers.
But it's interesting to hear someone say, you know, I don't identify as a bruja, but yet I know it's very real. And the fact that I know that when I go through these kind of dreams or these experiences, it's a form of tapping into that intuition, aka for us, we call that, like, you know, the inner bruja in you. Mm-hmm. So I just like that you even said that, because sometimes people think maybe when they listen to this podcast that you have to identify as a bruja to understand our storyline here. And it's like, not every woman's a bruja. Not every woman's a feminist, quote unquote. But as a woman, we need to create a sisterhood where we could accept each other's differences and help one another, especially us here. We're Latinx based, we're women of color. How can we help our bigger movement together? And we all use our separate, you know, superpowers, you know?
And I don't identify as a bruja out of really cultural sensitivity. Mm-hmm. I think also, like, you can see nowadays, you know, this like bruja, it's kind of being commercialized. Ooh, and like,
don't we know it?
Oh, y'all know.
Yeah. So we've talked about it a couple of times.
And my thing is that that's, you know, that's Becky on the block who may be doing it, Urban Outfitters who's doing it.
Right.
Yeah. But I also don't want to just give in just because it's popular. It's I don't know. I was not raised with certain customs or rituals, so I'm not about to just, you know, what's the saying? What's the, something bandwagon?
Jump on the bandwagon.
Thank you. Yeah, I often have problems with.
But in your case, you don't have to jump on any bandwagon because you already are, and you already have the superpower that you're clearly in tune with. So you don't need to, you know, have all these accessories that make you a bruja, right? Like, you don't need to get that sage in Urban Outfitters that's been colonized as well.
Honey, I already have that from Peru. So.
Like, regardless, where it originally, you know, well, Palo Santo came from our land in truthfulness. Mm-hmm. Palo Santo came from that, but
sage is actually North American.
Yeah, and actually the Native Americans. I heard Americans. You say Palo Santo, it's like I didn't hear sage, and I was like, oh, Palo Santo.
totally. Either way, it's the same kind of, got the same purpose, which is to cleanse and heal. But I just think that I love to hear that you don't have to be put in a box and say I'm a bruja. And I know it's not always accepted too, especially in the Latinx community. We were talking about this with the guests from the other show, which is like, their family never identified as brujas, although they might have been women of color. And we said Cindy and I are privileged in this sense, because we actually have family that are brujos and identified as them. So my mom passed when I was 15, but she was like a known bruja. So when I decided to embrace the bruja part of me, and I, in essence, came out to my family, like, I'm a bruja, they're like, oh, we knew you eventually become one. You know, like, to them, it was just a matter of time. But for a lot of people, it's shamed upon, especially they're very religious.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that's important to understand. It's not easy for everyone. And you don't have to say I'm a bruja to know that you have this superpower. So I like that.
I almost felt like you, Kat, because, and I've talked about this on the show before, like, both my parents, serious brujos in their own way, they've been divorced for so long, ever since I was a baby, like, I can't even imagine them together, right? Mm-hmm. And then they're so about it that they kind of imposed it on me. And I was like, I don't understand that and I don't get it. So I'm just go to college and we're just going to ignore this conversation because I don't want to wear that cologne on my head to get rid of my headache. And I don't want to practice that ritual to get rid of stuff that I don't even understand is bad for me. So let's just put that on hold and we'll get back to it later. Okay, guys? And so it took me a long time even like, coming into my own, like, I have dreams as well that are super vivid and I have feelings that are super on point. And I'm like, if I do anything other than what my insides are telling me to do right now, I know I'm going to regret it. So I started like slowly coming into it. And it was when I left the relationship, I moved in with my mom and she was like, now you're in my home.
Right.
And I think you got a little maloha on you, so please do this. She was like, you better do it, basically, is what she said. So I did it. And that's kind of like what ignited this like podcast. And I was just talking to Nat, and I'm like, am I a phony for like finally embracing it? You know, if my family is giving me the cred, like, thank God you fucking came around already.
Well, because they're your ancestors, even if they're still living, and they got it from their ancestors. Yeah, so, yeah. And some people have come from that and don't embrace it now. And that's okay too. I think it's just understanding that it's a form of spirituality, and it's not a form of black magic. And I think that's the taboo that we want to
kind of healing, girl.
Right. It's a form of healing ultimately. But spirituality is healing.
Yeah.
You know, and I think everybody has their form of praying, whether you're Christian or Muslim, you all pray in your own way. When the airplane's about to come down, everyone starts praying. You know what I mean? Yeah, so it doesn't take that moment, a bad moment, to have to want to tune in with, you know, energy and energy forces that are beyond things that we could see or calculate, you know? So I knew you were in a fraud. I knew you were a Bruja before I think you knew you were a Bruja.
Well, I mean, like, you know? Things would happen to me, like intuition that I was listening to, like, we got to get the hell out of here. Or like my mom telling me in high school, like, you do not go on that trip. Like, I don't trust it. Like, I don't know the driver. And something ended up happening. And the person that took my place actually ended up passing away in a car accident. God, like,
final destination shit.
That's exactly
that. That's the type of shit why I'm scared of this girl, though, Cindy. Because, like, for example, she missed her flight to Miami. And we were supposed to be on the same flight. And then I thought of that story you said about that airplane thing.
She was so regretful. Like, bitch, and I was nothing like, better happen
I'm
on this like, flight.
Bitch, I think I'm going to die. So when we're up there on the plane, literally 20 minutes, when they're like, oh, 20 minutes away, we're going to start, you know, landing. And then all of a sudden, there was like, the plane goes down like crazy. And I was like, ay, Dios mío. And then right there, I thought of Cindy. I'm like, this witch knew it was the time.
I like, literally overslept.
Overslept was really the reason for that. And then when we were landing in Miami, the captain said last minute, we're going to have to land in Fort Myers because of the winds coming. They don't let us come into Miami. So I was going to be late to what we were going for already. And I was like, damn. And then the very last minute, they got to go back to Miami and we landed. And he's like, I didn't hear any applause. And I was like, why is he saying that? And he's like, because you guys almost didn't make it to Fort Myers. No, you guys almost didn't make it to Miami. We almost had to stop at Fort Myers. Basically saying that was like a life or death situation going to Miami. And we almost did have to do a detour to Fort Myers. But it made me think of Cindy because I'm like, she knew this was going to happen. And this is why her instinct was like, don't get on this plane. I was regretting the shit out of that flight until we actually landed. We land, I think I might not be making this flight. And then you had the same thing going to Puerto Rico.
Oh, my God.
But you knew it was going to be fine.
No, I was praying real hard. I even promised God stuff that I was like, damn. I was like, God, if like it was shaking so hard that I had to hold the seat in front of me, and I started like tearing, and I was like, I'm gonna have to give you something. I'm gonna have to give you something.
Or
I'm
like,
I was like, I'm gonna be a safer driver, and I don't want to because I love driving recklessly. It's like a thrill. Like, why was I in the Fast and Furious in a past life? I don't know.
Cindy, you did not want to get in a car with Cindy.
Excuse me, but you're not gonna die.
Oh my God.
You're just not gonna know that you're gonna live the whole time. You know what I'm saying?
And then she calls me the old lady, and I'm like, you know, I used to make sort of the cool person in the car, and now I'm calling the old lady because you're crazy.
I've never heard of someone actually saying, like, I want to be a reckless driver.
Okay, I'm coming out now.
Oh no. Jesus. Hello.
The lights just went out in our room right now.
The Natalie, get up. You know what that means, right? What? That means you said you were gonna stop being a reckless driver, and you must have not.
I just wanted to like kind of enjoy the fact that I used to be one, but and no like more. YOLO, you know. But now that I made that promise, every time I get in the car, I put a post-it in my car, and it flew off the other day because I need to put with tape. That was like, yo, you promised. That's what it said.
You promised God.
Comma. That's right. You promised, because I don't want to break a promise. And I was just like, it's better for me and others. The only person I'm ever safe with, like, seriously, probably too slow, is my 4-year-old nephew when he's in the car. He was like, he's
maybe
always like
a picture of your nephew at, like, right there in the rear view
and
mirror.
Then Jonah right behind, plan B, just in case you lose
Jonah's her son.
There you
but
go.
He loves Cindy.
Oh my God,
like, sometimes he wakes up out of nowhere. He doesn't even see her that often. You would think he's like in the podcast with us, but he wake up out of random, Cindy, how is she he calls her Cindy. So my son thinks he's British.
But Natalie totally renamed
me. No one has a
me.
British accent at home, though, but my son thinks he's British, so he will say to my Cindy, come in,
because
like,
you call me Cindy.
Yeah, but I don't say Cindy, come in. So I'm like, kiddo, you're not from the UK, drop the accent.
So funny.
My son became a colonizer.
Oh my God.
What the?
Sunday.
Sunday.
Sunday. C-E-N-D-A-Y.
I have proclaimed myself as his D-D.
It got so bad that her birthday cake said, happy birthday, Sunday.
Sunday.
They love it. And I'm like,
I don't know what this name is, but I'm embracing it.
But I want to jump into the content that you're producing. It's so good. You know, as a Latinx woman, as an indigenous woman, as a brown skin woman, all that beautiful stuff that you are. You work for a media company known by Me Too. It does a lot of amazing work, and you actually are the forefront of a lot of that amazing work. And you have this YouTube show, which I love, and I want you to give us a little bit of context on the content that you're producing and how you feel about it. Is it creating a movement?
Sure. So my 9-to-5 is basically I'm a video producer for Me Too. They're as they say, an unapologetically Latino platform. A lot of that is video-based. So on a regular basis, you know, I'm here in New York City basically reaching out to folks. I concentrate on doing more like docu-identity kind of videos featuring folks who are often on the side of our community, marginalized and oppressed. So whether that's sexuality, race, you know, class, those are the people that I try to focus on and amplify their stories. But what I also do at Me Too is I've created a series called The Cat Call. And that was really inspired from, it's almost like a graduation from my YouTube channel. It's like,
I agree.
If my YouTube channel could get funding, oh, look, now it does. It's kind of that, and it's basically tackling social norms within the Latinx community, misconceptions that we uphold, and also misconceptions that outsiders have about us. So
right, but I love that you go from the inside out, which is very
important. Where it starts.
The fingers are pointed to our own community.
Like everyone else is welcome to watch and learn, but for sure, the target audience is us, and that really came about if you look at Me Too's comment section on basically any video. You know, you can see a lot of vile...
Give me an example. What's going on there? I haven't really looked at their comment section. I try to stay away from comment sections.
Facebook is depressing as it is, so I go for positive
videos. Well, here's my thing, right? So I think when people think of... when people say or hear Latino, Hispanic, you know, it groups a lot of people in, and automatically you think of, okay, these people as a whole are marginalized. And to a certain degree, we are. But then there are many other identities that we can hold, whether that's class, you know, our race, where we benefit a little more than other folks within our community. And I think that's, we see that in the comment section where, you know, maybe someone's really, really passionate about being an immigrant or very passionate about undocumented stories, but the minute that there's an Afro-Latino and we're talking about blackness, you see a lot of anti-black comments come up in that. That's just one example, right?
Colorism within our
community. A lot of colorism or just not understanding, no exposure to knowing that like blackness is actually fundamentally part of the Latinx community. So I think I was really almost inspired by the negative comments that I saw in on our page, because I wanted to be like, okay, but like I need something that's gonna like educate us and in a very accessible hand-holding way, like I don't want,
totally,
it's not about this like, ah, I know more than you, like blah 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 in your face. It's like, okay, let me try to make media that's gonna, you know, be funny and entertaining, but also like, you know, try to hold your hand in something that maybe no one has ever fully explained. So in the first season of The Cat Call, we tackled Why Are Novelas So White was the first episode, and
I saw that one.
So that tackles colorism, and that for me as a light-skinned Latina, that was a perspective that I was talking from, right? It was coming from a light-skinned Latina talking to other people who could really uphold colorism, or rather benefit from colorism, right, in our own community. Because black folks have been saying this. Afro-Latinos have been saying this. They know.
They've been experiencing this, even though they haven't been saying it.
So it's not the first time that it's been said, but I wanted it to be from a within group conversation, meaning light-skinned to light-skinned, let's talk. Come on, we know this is happening. So we did that. Another episode is like Like puta shaming. I forget what the like what the title of the show is, but we cover our grounds. And then now season two will come out at the end of September and continue on in October.
So is this now part of the Me Too platform?
Yeah. Okay, the series is a Me Too series hosted, created by myself. So yeah, season two is coming out at the end of September and going on in October. And we're going to be tackling things like, can Latinos benefit from white privilege? We're going to be tackling, are you a real...
They gave me goosebumps. I'm like, oh my God. I want to hear this one.
It is so prominent in Peru. Like everyone that has gone to Peru that is a non-Latino has made that comment to me. You know that? Like, not to interrupt you, but like it just made me think about that. Like white people, Asian people, they're like, and I know when they get uncomfortable and they stop talking about Machu Picchu and ceviche, they're about to talk about the colorism and the racism. And I'm like, oh, all right, let me just take a deep breath. Because they're like, something I noticed about Peru, different from other Latin American countries, is that the colorism and the racism is real there.
Like, honey, that is all over Latin America. It's not just
right. And I've gone to other countries, Latin America, and I'm like, I'm sure I've only gone to like three others, but like, I'm sure. And like, you could tell from like the job ads in Peru, they still say like, you know, college educated, you know, you need to type this fast. And what is it called? Like buena apariencia. Like
they're not referring to your clothing. They're referring to your skin color.
If you can be mistaken for una cholita, un cholo, like don't apply. Mm-hmm. That's basically what they're saying. You look indigenous and you brown,
that's sad. Yeah, you know, I was just talking yesterday to one of our mutual friends Alcides, who's Dominican, and he's brown skin. And he's saying how you can't just go, even in DR where there's a lot of brown skin, you can't go up to certain clubs and certain like posh places if you're dark skin. Like when you get to the door, he's like, you're too moreno for this environment, you know. And I'm like, really? Even they'll there be straight locally, up about it in DR, that's what he's though. Saying that they actually would tell you at the door the reason why. And that's so hurtful. I mean, I have a very brown skin aunt, you know, like she's basically like black skin. Like, I hate to say it, but I'm like, you're not like light skin. Mm-hmm. And she's racist as fuck. Mm-hmm. And I just, it blows my mind that you look at yourself every day in the mirror, you live with this color skin, and you are putting that pain back into the universe. So she'll tell her son stuff like, no me traiga una negra. And like, so the joke, actually the family were so vocal, thankfully, and we're very outspoken, that her own husband would be like, pero tú eres negra, ma. Yeah. Literally, his lovey name, sir, is negra.
Mm-hmm. I've literally been so in, like,
it blows my mind.
Goes to show how deep, you know, internalizing, whether that's colorism, racism, you know, homophobia, we internalize these messages. Mm-hmm.
So many people are so upfront about it. Like, yeah, I know what I am and I understand, but I don't want someone else from my generation to suffer the same thing I did. I want it to get better, which is where that nasty little saying comes from, like, yep, mejorando la raza. Like, and I'm like, oh God, like, till this day, like, I have friends that are Dominican that, like,
when they had their baby, t-shirts?
I know, right?
Mejorando la raza, but have like two brown skinned people.
No, girl, I'm not gonna do it. I feel like that has been said by so many black and Afro Latinos.
That's true. You know, no, you're right, it's been happening. Yeah, let me ask you a question. I know Vice does a little bit of this where they like actually bring the people that bring this hate and they interview them. Will you be doing some of that for the second season?
I am not doing that in the second season. That's of interest to me. Mm-hmm. Hopefully the catcall can develop into something that lives beyond just digital in order to have the capacity to do something like that.
Mm-hmm. Are you thinking more television? Possibly.
Maybe.
Okay, good for you.
Okay, TV executives, Kat is ready and all right. willing. Let's go.
Let's do it.
Get her some healthy snacks and wine. That's all you need. Just kidding.
I don't know what you said, but all I heard was sponsors and advertisers. I said, yes, get this on TV.
And that's like, yes, let's do it.
Let's do the business side.
Oh, my gosh.
Video producer at Me Too, and then you're a public speaker.
Yeah.
Tell us what you've been public speaking about and why.
Yeah, I mean, it's mostly, you know, Latinx-based identity stuff. It's usually stereotypes. So I often get to speak during Halloween season, talking about, like, cultural appropriation and talking about how, like, when I was younger, I would be made fun of for, you know, I would go visit. I'm half Peruvian, half Colombian, and I would go visit, let's say, Peru, and I'd come back with, like, what I thought was, like, really cute little hats. Like, I think they're called... chulos.
Yeah.
And then I'd get made fun of, right, when I would wear it to school. But now, you go to Forever 21,
don't even get
them
me started,
shits
girl.
Are popular. And I'm like, what is happening
Hashtag
here?
Decolonize.
Right. Hello. So I often speak about just like, Latinx identity, cultural appropriation. I'll have, I have a speaking engagement coming up next week for Colorado State University. I'll be talking about Latinx privilege. And I often talk about that because as someone that is one, you know, like a cis woman, a light skin Latina, also someone who, regardless that my father was undocumented here, regardless that my mother is to this day, still a housekeeper, regardless that both my parents immigrated here and like my mom literally slept on newspapers growing up, I was brought up middle class. And so I think that for the larger Latinx community, we carry a lot of our parents' stories, which is great, I think, with a lot of pride. Mm-hmm. But what we often do is carry them as if they are our own stories, right? And so there's some danger in there when we are blinded by carrying our parents' oppression as if it is our own, and not realizing the ways that we are upholding oppression by not checking our own privilege. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the work that I do is based on my own identity and trying to get other people within the Latinx community to see that within themselves.
And also note, to your point, like your mother is a housekeeper to this day and she's held a family up through that. And there's pride in that, and there should be pride in that. But at the same time, doesn't mean that that's not the limit for you, Kat, as a modern day Latina in this country. You know, you've taken that opportunity and that privilege that your parents gave you, like, okay, I want to do something else, and I don't have to be quote unquote a Latina housekeeper. Mm-hmm. I could do something else. I have that power and I have the privilege to do that, and you have become that, you know. You become the voice for your parents as well, right? Because your mom's not going to talk about this on a podcast, but you're talking about this on so many platforms.
Yeah.
Do they know? What do your parents feel about this, actually?
They know that, you know, I pay my bills, so they're not worried. They know that I make videos. Like, if anything, sometimes I get like a lot of pressure. Like, my dad is retired now, and basically he has retired to sit at home and be on Facebook.
I was gonna say
like way on the too much. To the point where like my dad will call me or text me or something and be like, ¿y el video? Yo no veo un video nuevo. ¿A dónde está el otro de Cast Me Out? ¿Qué pasó? And I'm like, bro, I have a 9-to-5. Like, I produce other videos where I'm not in front of the camera. He's like, sí, pero no entiendo.
I need that conversation recording. You're
He's like,
bro.
You haven't produced one again?
Like, yeah, today? I'm like, it's coming. You know, like, even when because I go to California to produce the catcall because it's a larger.
Oh, you do? Okay.
It's a larger production.
Right.
And so that was, we did that in like July. So then, of course, you know, my father, my parents aren't going to understand how long it takes to edit and post-production and all of that stuff. So, ¿qué pasó? ¿Qué pasó con el catcall? Yo esperando. I'm on Facebook. And I'm like, relax. Like, oh my God, the pressure.
So they're proud. They're proud.
Yeah, they're definitely proud. They're most definitely proud. I think it was a shock to them. Even for me, when, you know, Mitu was maybe my second full-time job in media. And when basically my parents realized that with that job, I was making what my father currently made prior to him retiring. And it was like one of those cultural moments where it's like, I don't understand. But like my father, like he worked his way up to this salary. And now I'm like, and you have to sit back and be like, okay, hold up, you know, times have changed. Also, you know, like there's a increase in salary throughout years. But also, yeah, it's a little shocking.
Yeah.
But they're very proud.
Aw, shout out to Kat's parents.
That's it. Aww. I hope they listen to us and they're like, okay, no viene un video, pero escucha el podcast.
It's fine. Por ahora. Podcast.
Por ahora. Oh my God. You just made me think about something that someone said to me. I think I posted something and I don't know. It sounded like you can call it a. I have no idea what I posted. Let's be completely honest. But someone said, talk about a first world problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah.
What was the problem?
I can't even remember.
Okay.
But I remember my reaction. I remember how it made me feel. And I said, my mom worked really hard so I could work, so I could have first world problems. Mm-hmm. And they were like, good point. Like, and it was a fellow Latino, a fellow journalist. And he even messaged about me privately. He's like, yo, I'm sorry if like that offended you. Like, I didn't even see it like that from that perspective. And I was like, yes, I go home sometimes to third world problems. I go to Peru and see my family and I have real third world problems that I'm in contact with all the time. And there's only so much I can do as a person, as a professional, as like a money-making person in the U.S. versus my family in Peru. Mm-hmm. So, but when you say something like that, it almost disregards my problems. And I'm not saying it's not minimal. I'm not saying there's not a solution. Mm-hmm. But what you're saying to me es como que no vale. And it mm-hmm. does, because it's something that I have to like deal with. I think it was, I don't even remember what it was, but it wasn't as minuscule as like, oh my God, like I couldn't have been this hat forever 21. It wasn't some shit like that. It was like something kind of real. Mm-hmm. And so I asked my mom about it, because I was like, mom, like what would you think if someone said that to me? And she's like, fuck those people. And I was like, okay. Like, okay, mom. And
they
like,
exist, but you can't get,
they do, and you then can't stop like yourself. Huge conversation about like first world problems and third world problems. And I don't, sometimes
I hate the third world prompting. I just feel like everyone's problem should be everyone's problem, you know, like Hurricane Irma that's affecting mm-hmm. so many different countries and cities. Mm-hmm. And like, I think like this brings about human collectives, right? Mm-hmm. Like we stop to think about, oh, this is just a Texas problem. Oh, it's shit, it just hit Mexico. Oh shit, it's, oh, it might come here. Like I think we start to take these conversations that we're having mm-hmm. on racism and colorisms and intersectionality and think about it as like it's a whole, right? That includes the white woman that might not understand that because of the privilege, but I do think it's their duty to, if they're going to be part of this community and they're going to interact with other fellow minority groups, so to speak, or oppressed groups, they should also have a voice for them as well. They should mm-hmm. be part of that conversation. It's why Black Lives Matter was a big deal when white people wanted to come out with hashtag All Lives Matter. Oh, and I'm like, there's a reason why Black Lives Matter, because you guys were not there at the forefront when they were being attacked and abused for their color. And now you want to say like, yeah, your lives, everyone's life matters, but there's a purpose for these niche kind of movements, you know? Mm-hmm. They wouldn't be a niche if everyone was in agreement mm-hmm. with that, right? Feminism is only feminist because a lot of men don't want women to have equal rights. Mm-hmm. If not, it wouldn't be like a woman sisterhood thing mostly. Mm-hmm. It'd be everyone. But yeah, I say fuck them people like your mother said. But also I think that like what Kat's doing and what we're doing here through the podcast is to change that conversation and to have more open conversation. I don't for think sure. everyone should agree with us. And I think racism will exist forever and ever, but I think that it should be okay to talk about it. Which is why I ask if you're going to bring white racist people to your show, because I'm like, maybe you could talk to them, even though they are the enemy, so to speak. But they well, are, here's we the should thing. Talk.
I'd like to reframe that, because mm-hmm. it's like white racist people, there are white racist Latinos,
right.
Oh, and there are yes. non-white racist Latinx true. That need a talking to. So yeah, I think it begins at a reframing of that.
True.
Yeah, or not. Like what have, if you had that conversation in different settings, mm. like cultural appreciation versus cultural exchange? It's tough. Mm. Like, how would you break that down?
I think there's
a
fine line for sure. Mm. But I also think that people need to chill out with appropriation. There's a sense of like pride when some people discover a culture, fall in love with it and embrace it, and they try to dive into it. Or sometimes these interracial relationships, so there's like the Indian person married to a Latino person and they both are infused in each other's
that's
culture
an exchange,
so
though.
Much. Mm. That right, that's an exchange. But I think that too many people are calling that appropriation. You know, mm-hmm. like I'll give you an example, Kat. I had braids. I get braids once a year. Like I've been doing this literally since I've been in the seventh grade. And yeah, I got put on by African-American/Puerto Rican friends that were like, yo, let me do cornrows on you. And I was like, okay. And then since then I've done cornrows forever and ever. I now live in a suburb with mostly white people. And I recently got, like 6 months ago, I got long, like with extensions, I had long braids. And dude, I blew every was like I understood my privilege with right. with the hair that's not the braids versus, you know, my Indian hair, right? And it's because actually I was told that I'm trying to be black by my white friends in my town. And that I was appropriating a culture that didn't pertain to me. And they didn't understand any better. But I think that I took that a little bit personally, because I'm like, I will never appropriate someone's culture if I'm not dived into it, respect it, and have people that I understand from that culture. But people really felt that way, mm-hmm. you know, because I'm not African American and they think braids and cornrows or whatever pertain to that like culture. It's I think there's ignorance, right? And I think that's why people need to start to understand that there's a difference. And yeah, I went through that with my braids, and I felt like they were saying,
well, I mean, was, we do have to respect the origin of where a hairstyle like that does come from, and it does, it is rooted in blackness. I can't check you on that as someone who isn't black, who doesn't have coarse hair, who hasn't been brought up in that. I get you, what you're saying, in terms of being brought up within community that, right, you know, wanted to share this with you. So there is a bit of an exchange there. Mm. So for me to like sit here and be like, you should or you should not, I'm not sure if I have the authority to say that. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure that you understand that you, as a light-skinned woman with non-coarse hair, mm-hmm, walking around with that hairstyle, is something that we see on fashion magazines, right, like Kylie Jenner, who has similar hair texture to you. Right. So it's like, we just have to acknowledge what it means when we are wearing these type of, if we choose to wear these type of cultural symbols, indicators, or whatever you want to call them.
Or styles, even.
Styles, yeah. Yeah.
Agreed, and be able to have an honest and open conversation when you do receive. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the funny part. The African-American people that I knew and loved, they were like, yo, you look dope. But it was the white people that do most of the appropriating, right, sometimes, right, that felt that I was being offensive. So, mm-hmm, it actually wasn't like, I go to a diner all, right, the time with my son, and the lady, the waitress that is like basically owns this diner, she's African-American. When I came, her friend's like, where'd you get those braids? They look great. How much you paid?
Yeah.
You know, like, mm-hmm, her shit came from love. It came about like, yeah, I'm so happy you're embracing. You look good. You know, same thing when, you know, whatever. But it's like everyone else that wasn't felt that I might be doing that because they, right, don't feel comfortable kind of tapping into that culture, yeah, possibly.
It kind of taps into this, the idea with like Jennifer Lopez and why she blew up. We have to acknowledge that. And I say this. So my background is one where I went to a performing arts high school, and what I wanted to do when I was younger was I wanted to be an actress. Like, I wanted to be Natalie Portman. I wanted, aww, to be like Julia Roberts.
And
I wanted
you,
to be,
and like, you could still be an actress, girl.
There's still time for you, boo.
You're going to be Cat Meow, the actress, okay?
That's right.
And I realized very quickly that I was something that the industry really loved. I was this light-skinned, ambiguous, Latina, you know, like basically white enough to be that ethnic friend, you know,
but so not rich, too that's dark, so to real, stand too out, or like another like, dark person can't exist on the cast.
Exactly.
That's so real.
And so I think with my auditioning, lights went out.
Hello.
Here we go. Lights on. With my experience, you know, auditioning in New York City, clearly for predominantly Latina roles, I realized my own light skin privilege in that. And so then I understood that someone like J-Lo or even someone like myself can pop off, and we have to understand that us popping off a little bit of that, I'm not saying all, it doesn't mean, mm-hmm, J-Lo didn't hustle, mm-hmm, or whatever, right, the hell. A little bit of that has to be attributed to colorism, mm-hmm, right?
Oh, for
to
the sure. Fact that she played Italian characters.
The fact that she has this voluptuous, you know, body that is eroticized. Everyone is like, oh, the best body. Oh my God, her ass, this and this. You know how many black women,
exactly,
Afro-Latinas have that
they have
body.
This ass,
so
yeah,
one comes to question, you know, it's not to say, okay, J-Lo should just never have tried to attain her dreams of stardom, of entertainment, but it's acknowledging, right, you know, that a little bit of that, if not, you know, a large portion of that is due to colorism.
Acknowledgement is key. That's, mm-hmm, it. That's, mm-hmm, that's a key word right there.
Yeah.
Acknowledge what your superpowers are. Acknowledge what your privileges are. Check them. Check yourself every so often, because we all do it. And I think because in our, it's so like there's racism ingrained in our blood type as Latinas, mostly, like, you know, to some extent. So check yourself. I think there's times when certain feelings arise when it's a certain kind of species of a human, and you got to be like, hey, wait, I'm kind of falling into this trap of, mm-hmm, racism or prejudice, which is a really big one too, even amongst Latinos, right? Like, I'm Latina, and I had a nanny who was a Muslim with a hijab, and my family thought it was a scary, like, literally, my grandma came the first day, didn't know, she thought it was a nanny, knows no reason to describe her as a Muslim woman with a hijab, and when she saw her, it was like, I just brought her fucking ISIS to the front door, yeah. Because know, that yeah. is the amount of prejudice yes. that still applies, and we get it too, girl, like, you got a nice butt, you got hips, you got big tits, like, we eroticized all the time as Latina women, and it sucks, oh, like, my husband always says, I'm a good dancer, but I'm ashamed of it. And I'm like, you're right, because I'm sexually ashamed of my dance skills. Oh my God.
You know what's so, you know what's really funny? So in the second season of The Catcall, in one of the episodes, I call myself out. And it's the episode, What Makes Latina So Spicy? All of my, like, the titles are always, like, you know, a little sarcastic. And
Yeah.
And in that episode, I talk about, like, me reflecting on the first season and looking back at what I wore. And I would, like,
cover
try
up
try to find the most yes. cover up, like,
because you're afraid to play into a stereotype.
Yes, because I'm like, okay, girl, people need to take me serious. I don't want people to, like, make certain comments. I need yep. them to, like, hear what I say. And then in the second season, I was like, fuck y'all, I'm wearing my nice yes. little tight ass dress because that's what I like to wear.
Go for it.
My hoops are in, like, I wore my jewelry that I usually
wear. You started
wear.
To own it, right?
Yeah, yes. I started to own it, and I called myself out. I was like, you know
what, helped you do that? Because I feel like a lot of people do that and then jump to this and they own it and they're happy and it's, oh my God, self-love at its highest. What helped you transition there?
Right.
I mean, honestly, just I created the first season of The Catcall just because, like, that was the natural thing for me to do. Like, that's what I was already doing on my YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. And so when it got the attention and the it was received, you know, well, I was like, and then Mithu was like, cool, we're gonna do a season two and we're gonna give you a bigger budget to do season two. I was like, okay. So it boosted my confidence. I was like, listen, they're gonna have to, like, take me at how I am, because, like, that was a lot of work.
So maybe it's a monetary thing as Latinas too, and this comes down to oppression. Like, we don't come from these, like, really, really substantial, not all Latinas are super wealthy too, right? Mm-hmm. But, like, we don't have that upbringing. We came from very humble beginnings. And I feel like sometimes we talk about this, shit, if we say this, will, like, we get sponsors? Because at the end of the day, we're still trying to make a dollar or two in the process of our creative field. Mm-hmm. So if money was not a thing, mm-hmm. like, if you were just a multimillionaire putting out a podcast or a show like Cat Meow for the purpose of helping others, mm-hmm. and money was not a thing, you would just be you mm-hmm. all the time. So I think mm-hmm. the economics play a role. And I think that a lot of executives are not necessarily our people. Mm-hmm. They're, you know, they're also not Latinx or Latino.
People are gonna say shit regardless.
That's,
you know,
true.
Because right. on the first season, then people went in about how much they hated me. My at that point, I had my hair shaved. Like, I'm basically, like, very stereotypical when it comes to, like, my hair. And, like, you know, Latinas, they always change their hair. I'm like, yeah, like, I shaved half of my head.
Go, girl.
Also that creative. Was me all last year. Yeah, exactly. I'm a Gemini like that, where I'm like, you know,
you want to change it up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So then people were like, oh my God, like, oh, her hair, this and this. And I was like, I'm sure this season they're going to have something to say about it. So whatever.
Well, that's good for you that you go past, you know, some of that hate, because it's part of the process. And you could be the most perfect person in someone's eye and still there'll be something that they'll find wrong. So yeah. keep doing what you're doing, because I think it's very positive. I think it's done in a very delightful way. And thank you're also you. Just straight up entertaining, which helps. So shout out to you. Shout out to me too for putting dollars behind the right content.
Yeah,
because a lot of other channels maybe not doing the same thing. But yeah, thank you for coming to Morado Land today.
I'm so happy. This was just like organic.
That was so quick. That was like, a quickie one. But I always do, like, a last minute sometimes, wild like card, random question that has nothing to do with all this social and political work we're doing.
Shout out to that book.
Your last cry, what was it? What made you cry last?
Wow, that's going to be hard because I can't really talk about it.
Oh, we can go to a different question.
No. I can go around it because okay. I think it's important.
Second to last cry?
No. I'm going to try to talk about it without naming names. I had, basically, there was an opportunity, like a business opportunity with someone very big, and I was looking forward to it. And due to some complications... I can't go through with that business opportunity. So I literally just started crying. I was bawling on the couch. I was like, I can't believe this. Like, my dreams are going to come true with this. You know, now I can't. What do I do? And I think the learning lesson there was, like, just because one door closes doesn't mean that there's other doors that aren't
No, actually, open. It means another door is ready to open.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's like, it's probably going to be bigger. Mm-hmm. And are you going to take it? Mm-hmm. Do you think you deserve it?
You got to have hope, you know? Because if you look at that door closing as like, you're done, which a lot of people can do and become pessimistic, then you're now no longer having an open chakra. Like your chest chakra has closed. So keep that as open as possible. Keep your throat chakra very healed, because that's your communicator. That's probably your most important chakra for you as a media person. So get that crystal ready right there in your throat chakra and sage it out, girl. I know
Don't
you
worry.
Said
these we'll are get just, you one. We'll get you one.
Just that's for your throat. Because your voice, you know, and the media has to be portrayed by all people of all backgrounds, and I just think it's great that they received it well, you know. So good for you.
It just means many more are gonna come. The lights turned off again. Yo, when shit gets really real, the lights turn off in the room. It's really weird. That was like the third time.
That's it. Wasn't so bad.
Oh my god, is there anything else you want to add that we didn't get to like talk about?
Nothing. I just think thank you so much for having me on. I've followed you guys for a minute. I followed you, Cindy, for a longer minute.
A long ass minute.
Like
right
2 minutes.
It's like almost like 3 minutes.
Like 2.5.
Well, we've been doing your thing. The podcast, actually, we've been talking about Cindy and I about getting you on.
Aww.
And we have a mutual friend, Connie. Bruja Connie Chavez.
Yes, of course. Hell
so,
yeah.
Like when you were producing Cat Me Out before the Me Too, I think, series, I was doing something for, I hate to say their name, but like Latina, right? Which, you know, Connie's no longer there, but Connie was actually the person, unapologetic. Connie was the person that kept telling me, because I was like, you, I have big breasts, I'm Latina.
Girl, people, you think I got big breasts? Oh my God. Shout out to all the A cups out here. Hell yeah, A cups making a comeback.
That's a good ass bra, girl.
It's magical, honey.
I wore like sports bras and I was trying to cover like my figure and everything. Yeah. And Connie, when they're like, girl, she didn't just let those come out.
I did one
show where like it looked a little bit more, but then it pissed me off because that show got the most engagement. And then I went back to what you were saying, which is this torn feeling, damn it, I'll never know if it was on content based or tit based. Never know. And that's why I try to, like, look at me, I'm such a tomboy all the time. Like, I wore heels because I had guests today. But, like, I was going to try to come here in flip-flops. But I'm, like, be more presentable. So I can't wait. But my point is that I try not to bring out the sexiness in me. And hence, when I dance, unless I'm tipsy, I'm, like, stiff as hell. But shout out to my husband for recognizing that I'm actually a good dancer.
You're a fantastic dancer. We party hard in Miami.
But I was tipsy. Hello. You know what I'm saying? So hello. I let it loose. But I feel uncomfortable if I don't. And honestly, it comes from like the shame of sexuality and being catcalled. You know, when I did look nice and go to high school and I had like these 50-year-old men be perverted, it made me very uncomfortable.
Yeah,
and I'm still very uncomfortable by it. I was pregnant with a two-piece in Miami because I still own my shit. Like, whatever.
Big
ass stomach. I was 8 months. I'll never forget this. Some stupid ass guy, as I'm walking to go get a meal that I was like craving, he's like, la próximo niño yo te impregno.
That sounds like it has so much consent involved that
that was like rape with words. And I remember looking at him and I was so speechless that I actually think he's put his head down. Like, he actually realized what a scumbag he was. But it goes down to, I dealt with catcalling as a pregnant woman.
Yeah.
A time that I felt so holy that I need to like be cleansed from that nastiness. So just shout out to all the women that deal with that kind of shit of all backgrounds.
Yeah, and keep rocking the clothes that they want to rock.
Yeah,
and embrace their sexiness even in the face of all that. Because,
and men, stop catcalling. What the fuck? Not all men, you know who you are. Stop catcalling.
I want to reclaim what catcall means.
OMG.
Do it.
AKA, that's why the series is named that. Be honey, like, no, fuck it. Now when someone catcalls, it means like we're calling this shit out.
Catcall means calling you out. Oh, okay.
You're gonna turn it back on them?
Yeah.
I think it's necessary. Please do it. Let me know.
Oh my God. Can we put like Nat in a sexy outfit, make her walk down the street, and then I record, and then Kat goes and like confronts them?
It's like trauma for me. I'm gonna get therapy right after. Like, I'm going through flashbacks of like,
no.
She's gonna be shocked and traumatized, and Kat's gonna be like, bow. Hit him with some honesty. I did that once
on an Instagram live. I was in Brooklyn and these two, they were older men, and they're, I saw them being sleazeballs from before I even got to them, so I already knew that I was gonna have to walk through that.
I had my phone
ready on Instagram live. You know, everyone always walks with their phone, so I'm walking with my phone looking at them like they're so gonna do something, and then when I look up they start to be perverted. And I just put the phone on them. I'm like, what is it that you have to say? Sell it to my 24,000 viewers on Instagram, which I don't have. So I was like, tell, and then they were, I swear, the poor men. I thought I was going to give them a heart attack, but it felt good.
Like, no, yeah.
They became like little boys. Yeah. They're like, oh my God, yeah. I'm so sorry. Like they became little kids. And it that's the truth. On. When you turn it on them,
absolutely. The story changes. So my biggest tip for anyone who gets catcalled is, this one time there was a group of like three guys who were walking towards me, and I was like, here we go. I'm like, you already know.
You feel it.
Yeah, you already know. You know. And I was like, here we go. And they walked towards me, you know, we're walking towards each other basically. They're like, oh yeah, I don't even remember. It doesn't, you know, as women we're like, I don't even know what the fuck you said. It was like, oh yeah, mommy. And I turn around and in their ear I'm like, and they're like, and at this point we've crossed paths. At this point we've totally crossed paths, and they just like are in shock looking back, and I'm looking back at them, I'm like, what? And they're like, what the fuck was that? So I just say, do
like
something,
a shock value.
Yeah, just like, I've picked my nose, I've like made fart sounds, like, oh my God, just do anything. Yeah, just do anything. I scratch my boobs.
And they're like, ay, Dios mío, un niño, yeah. No haga eso.
That's why my grandma don't get catcalled anymore, because she's such a vulgar spitting in the street. That's natural for my grandma, though. I'm like, ma.
Scratch your tits.
Scratch something. Scratch
just
your
scratch
butt.
Your tits. In particular, your tits. Like, because no one ever, like, yeah, just be like,
ah. Be like, I'm lactating.
Scratch your pits and your tits.
Smell your pits.
Scratch your smell. Do it.
As
do the whole
buy
thing.
Them?
Yeah.
Está muy buena, no?
Yummy. Yummy, yummy.
I like that. I like that a lot. Flip and you know what? If you don't do it, it doesn't make you less of a feminist. It doesn't make you less of a badass. But if you have the energy, honey, do it. Why
if
not?
If you have the energy and you feel safe enough to do something back, do it.
Right. If it's a safe place. That's important to say
that's
that.
That's very important.
Yes. And if you're with the women that you're with, a group of women, this is probably the best time to do it, because then they feel, you know, like they have, you have a team behind you. With that said, I wanted you, Kat, to give us your Instagrams and your hashtags or whatever it is, so we could find you and the world could find out more about Kat Lazo Espinoza with an S.
Yeah, you all can check me out on basically all my social platforms. The Cats Meow. I started my YouTube channel when I was like really young, so I didn't think of branding myself, but it's the with two E's and meow with two W's. Or you could just Google me.
But cats, how do you spell cats?
Just as my name.
Cats. Oh, with a K?
K. Right. Oh, yes. My name's with a K. Or just Google me. Cat, K-A-T, and Lazo, L-A-Z-O.
There you go.
She's very searchable, guys. Check her out.
And
dope
on YouTube,
hell.
Go to YouTube and check the video, right? Is that, yeah, a, is check that the
out,
preferred?
Yeah, check out the cat call, and cat call is like my name. So the, and then cat, K-A-T, and call as in C-A-L-L.
Hello.
I all can right. spell.
Oh, thank you for that. Thank you for coming. Thank you for being part of this media world that we live in
thank
and giving
you.
Us
so much.
Real news. Hello.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad we made this happen.
Yes, me too.
Me too.
Well, this
me
is Cindy.
It? Me too.
That was perfect.
Me too. Shout out to me too.
Okay. Well, this is Matt.
And this is Cindy.
And this is Marada Lens.
Bye.
Peace.